Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 8:15. I don't know if anything's moving fast in Washington or that it ever does. Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center, joins us to talk about the government shutdown. How you doing, Andy?
I'm doing pretty well. But there's a shutdown. I read the papers this morning and didn't seem to be much talk of anything.
Apparently no urgency. The House has gone home. The Senate's gone home. And they're I don't know. Tell me what's going on.
You might think that there's more political things at play here than there are budgetary things, right?
No. You think?
No. Well, I think that there's a look of 2026 in the eyes of the leaders of both parties. And this is all positioning now for 2026. You know, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of speed or desire to get this thing done quickly by either side. And I think that's likely to continue for a little bit because, frankly, the Republicans' plan was just to kick the can down the road until November, which isn't that far away now, which means if they get to November, they're going to be winning anyway. They're going to be in the next budgetary cycle.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
Well, what the Republicans want to do, and I'm saying this, what they say they want to do, is bring the budgetary process back to kind of what we call regular order, so we're not having these omnibus bills loaded with all sorts of stuff funding the budget. And the debt limit is really what the problem is when we run out of spending money. So the debt limit is the problem we've got now. We don't have enough money authorized to spend. So what they're doing, Republicans are doing, is use this as an opportunity to kind of cut back and pare back on spending in other areas, which they wanted to politically. So they've got they've got leverage there over Democrats. But what they want to do is put this into the regular budgetary approval cycle, so just to extend the debt limit, but make it part of the process so it's back to kind of what they call regular order. We'll see. I think people in Washington kind of like the big omnibus Christmas tree bills more than regular order of budgetary processes.
Boy, you got a whole bunch of stuff you said there that I got to ask you about. First of all, we have these battles occasionally over raising the country's debt limit. That's not right. What we're talking about here, though, but you're saying that's what they want to get to?
We're actually talking about that right now because we're running out of money to spend. So
that's not the same as the authorized debt limit, right?
Right. We do have the authorized debt limit. I believe that's what we're butting up against right now.
Okay.
We have to get that budget, that debt limit extension in place. That's what we've done in the past. Every time there's a debt limit extension, then we get these, the payoffs for it, the Christmas tree bills where everybody in Congress gets their little bit of stuff. So it ties. I guess the biggest problem is we are not unique, but rare among all countries to have a budgetary debt limit as a bill that has to be paid. In most countries, that budgetary limit is just part of the budgetary process. If you spend more money, you spend more money. It's not a separate piece. About in the United States, the debt limit is a separate piece. It keeps our government limited from how much money they can spend.
So let me ask it a different way. What happens come November in regular order? What does that look like?
Well, then the regular order means then all of the committees within the Congress the Appropriations Committee, you know, the Transportation Committee, all of those things, put together their regular budgets towards for the next budgetary cycle. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to raise the debt limit one way or the other, but the Republicans want to get it into, get things back to regular order into it in the regular cycle and not have this kind of a omnibus bill that Democrats are using right now to leverage their priorities and Republicans are using to leverage their priorities.
But with that being said, would we then get back to having a budget for a year and not having these continuing resolutions? Is that what we're looking at?
Theoretically, but my sense is it's probably not going to happen because I think politically these debt crises and budget shutdown crises are beneficial to both parties politically.
So are we using debt limit and budget continuing resolution interchangeably here? That's what confuses me.
The continuing resolution, the fiscal year ends, and you need money then to, there's no budget going forward.
Right.
So the fiscal year has ended. So now what we're trying to do is get the money, get that fiscal year going, to get the budgetary process going, but we're running out of money to be able to do it. And the debt limit keeps us from spending the more money.
All right,
so they're tied together.
So let's go to November when we come back and see what that could look like. And we'll talk about politically what happens if the government is shut down until November and who's going to eat this come the midterms. And how does the public feel about this? 821 traffic now, WWL. 826 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, on this Monday morning, October 6th, talking to Andy Smith, our friend, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. Maybe some cool weather by the weekend. Lows around 64 in Belchase, they're saying, on Sunday. What about you, Andy? What are y'all looking at?
Well, it's going to be in the 80s today, but we'll have highs in the 63, 64 later on this week.
All right. There you go. President Trump saying a lot of good can come from shutdowns. He said last week in the Oval Office, "I can't believe the radical left Democrats gave me this unprecedented opportunity. Can good politically come?" I mean, you got two considerations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here, right? You got economically, you got people's lives. To me, politically, it seems like both sides are thinking, well, the public's going to side with us on this one, so I'm digging in my heels and I'm not going anywhere. Thoughts?
I think that's the view, but actually I think what's really going on is the view is that both sides are saying, well, the government, the public isn't really going to punish us for the positions that we're taking. There was a CBS poll that was done over the last week. And one of the questions was, are the budget positions of the two parties worth shutting down the government for or not worth it? Well, Democratic positions, only 28% say it's worth it. 40% say not worth it. 32% says they don't know, which is probably the correct answer. Republican positions, 23% say it's worth it, 45% not worth it, 32% I don't know, which tells me that the public isn't really engaged. And what you're seeing is the parties are just using these to amplify the kind of the anger, the rhetoric that motivates their party.
Could part of this be shutdown fatigue?
Part of it, but we haven't had one since for a while. Mm-hmm. But the process has been going on for such a long time, I think, is the thing that people get tired of. And I think, as you know, I say facetiously, but maybe not so much, it's like a kabuki dance. Everybody knows what the outcome is going to be before the play starts. And that's, I think, where the public is on a lot of this, is that they're kind of tired. They know that something's going to come out of it, and it's not going to be the end of the world in the meantime.
So who winds up eating this? Somebody's going to wind up eating it, right?
Yeah, I think what you're going to see is the Democrats back down. I think the Republicans have a better position because, frankly, shutting down the government and cutting spending and cutting governmental agencies is something that they want to do anyway. Russell Vogt, the White House budget director, he's really liking this idea of cutting out spending by having a shutdown, which means you can't spend the money, so we'll just not spend it. But it brings up a much bigger constitutional issue, which I think is where all of this is going to head, is who has the power to spend the money? Article 1 of the Constitution says that no money may be spent unless it's appropriated by law, but that doesn't say that it all must be spent. There was a budgetary act in 1974 that said the president can't not spend money. This is reopening that battle.
We are way in the weeds, but that's where most of the money changes hands.
In the weeds is where you got to look
That's where the money is changing hands. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it. We'll take a break and back talk to Tyler Bridges about his new deep dive into Liz Merle's time as Attorney General. Right now, 8:30, time for WWL First News. 8:45, quarter till 9. You go to TylerBridges.com. You can see all the books that Tyler Bridges has written. Very talented author, very skilled reporter. He joins us now, staff writer for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. Talk about Liz Merle. Hey, Tyler, how are you? How you been?
Good morning, Tommy.
You been well?
Yeah, life is good. As the chief political reporter for the Times-Picayune Advocate, there's always something for me to write about.
I'll bet there is. Tell me about Liz Merle. I found this story very intriguing that you wrote.
Yeah, Liz Merle is the attorney general. She was elected in 2023. You'll remember that Jeff Landry had been the attorney general for the previous 8 years, and she had been one of his top lawyers, and he supported her when she ran to be attorney general in 2023. And now in the position for the past 20 months, she's been very much using the same playbook as Jeff Landry, jumping on to conservative causes, wading into issues such as abortion. And I think they're probably very popular with the conservative voters in Louisiana.
More active than Jeff Landry as attorney general?
I would say about in some ways more active, but let's just simply say at least as active as Jeff Landry as attorney general.
Compare and contrast the two, if you would, Tyler.
Yeah, people who know both of them would say that Jeff Landry as attorney general was a politician first and a lawyer second. Liz Merle, everybody who knows her says she's a very, very smart lawyer. So they say she's a lawyer first and a politician second. I'd also say that Jeff Landry is a kind of belligerent at times, but a back-slapping Cajun fun guy. Liz Merle is much more very focused, very straightforward. She really much more comes across as an attorney, but also very approachable.
More corporate almost?
In some ways, but again, I certainly find her to be very approachable. I would credit that, Tommy, to her having a past of being a reporter for 2 years.
Really?
Yes.
There you go. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, because reporters were supposed to be able to talk to people.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about she and the governor. They agree on a lot of things, but not everything?
Yeah, they disagree. They both told me they disagree behind the scenes, but they keep those disagreements out of public view. So they're in lockstep together. And again, the big issue coming up is on October 15th, it's called the Calais case, before the Supreme Court will decide whether Louisiana will keep its concurrent makeup of the congressional boundaries in Washington, or will the court make a ruling that will force Louisiana to change those boundaries. And in fact, possibly Louisiana could lose one or both of its Democratic black members of Congress.
Today is the first Monday in October. I just realized that. I just got this from National Weather Service, Tyler. Let me pass along flash flood warning for Washington and Tangipahoa until 11:45 a.m. So be aware if you're in those areas here on the South Shore. It's sunny as all get out. So the Supreme Court is going to hear the case when? Wednesday?
October 15th.
October 15th. And
Liz Merle, along with Jeff Landry, and also the Secretary of State, Nancy Landry, because I had a separate story on her and Liz Merle over the in the paper over the weekend, they're all telling the U.S. Supreme Court that they that the Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, which has been in place for decades and which causes forces legislatures to draw lines that elect black Democrats in the South. They're all pushing those Republican elected officials to overturn, to have the Supreme Court overturn Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. And if that happens, it's possible that Louisiana, the legislature, would then eliminate the position of Troy Carter, who represents New Orleans and Baton Rouge in Congress, and also Cleo Fields, who represents Baton Rouge up to Shreveport. Those are both black Democrats. Right now, the split in the congressional map for Louisiana is 4 Republicans and 2 Democrats. So that is up in the air, and Liz Merle is playing an important role in that effort.
So they hear it on October 15th, but they won't rule until, or do you know, is this going to be expedited?
We don't know when the Supreme Court will rule. The best expectation is it'll be sometime late in the year or perhaps early next year. But also, Tommy, remember that we expect Governor Jeff Landry to call a special session to begin on October 23rd to potentially draw in a new map, a contingency map, assuming that the Supreme Court rules that Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act is indeed unconstitutional.
When it comes to the Attorney General and the Secretary of State, talk about – well, let me take a break. Tyler, you can pick it up when we come back. Tyler Bridges, our guest, got a new article out. I want to talk about that as well with the Secretary of State. Staff writer, Times-Picayune, New Orleans advocate, author of several books. You can go to tylerbridges.com, get autographed copies there if you like. He is going to talk about the dust-up between the Attorney General and the Secretary of State, right? Got that right, Tyler?
You did.
When
you
we
did.
Come back, yeah. 8:51, 9 till 9, a lot of titles. Traffic now, WWL. 8:57, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Tyler Bridges, a gifted reporter and author. I'm looking at the story about Liz Merle. In ninth grade at Cathedral Carmel High, she received all D's and was suspended for 3 days after getting caught smoking in the girls' bathroom. It's not what you achieve in life, it's what you overcome, huh, Tyler?
Yeah, she said she got her act together and ended up going to LSU Law School and was the editor of the Law Review and has been a very successful attorney and now is the Attorney General of Louisiana.
Tell me what happened with the, I'll get my title straight here, Secretary of State.
Sure. So as we were talking a minute ago, Tommy, we've got this important Supreme Court case coming up on a hearing of oral arguments on October 15th. It's called the Calais case. And Liz Merle got upset at the Secretary of State, Nancy Landry, because of something involving this case. And as a result, the Attorney General Merle fired all of the outside attorneys working for the Secretary of State. It's really kind of a, I think it's an unprecedented act, at least in as anyone can remember. But the Attorney General Merle said, hey, I'm the chief legal officer. If you don't do what I expect you to do and want you to do, I'm in charge, so I'm going to fire your lawyers, and that's what she's done.
When it comes to the Plaquemines Parish coastal erosion case, and I'm calling it that, my own words, not yours, but she kind of broke ranks with traditional or at least the conservative movement in the country by supporting that, right?
Yeah, both she, both Attorney General Merle and Governor Landry have sided with the trial lawyer position of the Carmouche Law Firm out of Baton Rouge to support this major lawsuit against Chevron and Plaquemines Parish, and indeed lawsuits, coastal lawsuits throughout. And that is breaks with what the Trump administration wants, which is now trying to get that big judgment against Chevron overturned.
Any final thoughts, Tyler?
Keep your eye on this special session coming up October 23rd, and then, of course, the Supreme Court hearing on October 15th.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time and your insight. Tyler Bridges, staff writer, Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate, author of several books. The one I love is about the laterals and the trombone in the Stanford game. Also one, I don't have the window open in front of me right now, but about his father and serving in the military in World War II. I think everybody who had a dad who served in World War II should read that book. Go to tylerbridges.com. You'll see all his books. Rena Conti joins us. When we come back, we'll talk about the Trump administration rolling out Trump RX. What does that mean? Then we'll talk to Mike Pearlstein about an averted near escape at the New Orleans Correctional Center.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.